This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Get it. The Bird Show.
I'm very confused.
It's a mystery.
It's a what now?
A mystery.
How has this happened over the last hour? So if you
Less than. Are you really, with me, are you really surprised?
No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Especially with that on-air chemistry that they had.
All right, so if you weren't listening about 40 minutes ago, we surprised Abby with a dude from France that Kristen found on Instagram. That super good-looking dude and was saying like, hey, I've got this wedding coming up, and his French accent, he's really super good looking.
He's a very attractive man.
Very good looking dude. So we surprised Abby this morning. She never saw this coming. And we got him on the show. He called in from Nice. So we introduced him. The chemistry was certainly deniable. It was awkward.
I wasn't prepared. I didn't know when to talk. I didn't know if I was pitching myself for him. I was very confused at what was going on.
But he was like running sort of this, I don't know, this contest almost on Instagram about win a date with me. I'm hot. A French guy.
Yeah. I mean, basically he's saying like, you know, I want a hot date to make my cousin jealous at his wedding. Leave a comment. Whoever gets the most likes, I will fly you to France and you'll be my plus one for this date. Right. So I was like, this will be a fun bit for the show.
Yeah. So we get dude on and we surprise her. And then, you know, just right before we're about to come back on the show, you guys are like, the post is gone.
Yeah, because I was going to comment because I'm like, okay, if I am only going to be able to get out four words on the air, or three words, I like bread, I've got to find some way to compensate for it with a funny comment. So I was like, let's pull up the Instagram post. Let's craft something to be able to say, I should be the girl to go to Cannes for this wedding. And I was scrolling through the Instagram. My man's deleted it.
Now he's still on TikTok.
Well, he deleted his whole page?
No. His page is definitely there. He's like, I gotta get away from this girl.
I'm done with socials.
But we were specifically referencing his Instagram post because I don't have TikTok, so that's how I saw it because Cassie found it, forwarded it to her, and she's like, it's not on Instagram, it's on TikTok. And I'm like, wait. I'm like, I don't have TikTok. I saw this on Instagram. And I'm like, no, surely. And I went and I scroll. And he has deleted the post that Sharon Stone commented on, which is why it popped up in my For You page.
Well, don't you think, dude, being on with us this morning as we're talking about his Instagram post and we're talking about this whole thing, he would have mentioned to us that it's not up on Instagram anymore?
Hey.
Or he deleted it right after.
Right after.
Was it there this morning?
It's there right now.
Oh, it is?
It's in the reels. Katie just found it.
Oh, so he just blocked Abby.
No, because Kristen couldn't find it either.
When you post a reel, you don't necessarily have to post it to the main grid of your page. You can just have it sit under reels and then you can remove it
Abby,
later on.
He set up a special one for you. It's at the website abbysgotnogame.com.
He just geofenced his Instagram profile. Dude, I really thought for a hot second, I'm like, did this guy go on the phone and like, oh, there he is. He's on it. It's there. It's just under reels.
Gluten.
Well, and just so you know, it's got 7.8 million.
7.8 million.
So what should I comment to make this guy go, ah, yes, she would be a date for this? So there's 7.8 million views and there's 10,000 comments. And then Sharon Stone is the top comment, which he pinned. And it says, Sharon Stone commented, too bad I can't do it. I have celiac disease.
Oh, because of the bread.
Yeah, because of the gluten.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that it's got almost 8 million views.
Really?
I mean, he's a great-looking dude that's offering a trip. Mm-hmm. Did he say that he's going to pay for you to come out to
play? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's offering a trip to hang out with him all day at a wedding in Cannes, France. So I shouldn't be surprised. that there's 8 million people that have taken a look at it.
Yeah, I love bread and I love when men pay for things. So I'm not surprised that other women have jumped on board with this as well. I don't know if you have to you're in the baggage part of the plane. That's the ticket he's paying for, but I'm down to go.
It looks like the comment we have to beat is from Valentina, and she posted her full Chat GPT and what Chat GPT told her to post, and it has almost 5,000 likes.
I don't know that I can beat a woman named Valentina.
What's she look like?
Valentina?
I mean, you're born to be beautiful if your name's Valentina.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Her account's private. I can't see.
She's so pretty.
We're going to take her name for it. She's fine.
how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you, are you about this whole thing? Because I've been holding back on some opinions I have.
You have some opinions. I'm cautiously excited. I mean,
all right, then I'll shut up.
Okay. No. You can share some opinions. I'm like, if he picked me, I would be excited, but also kind of like, am I going to get murdered?
Well, if I share my opinions, I think you're not going to get picked. So I won't share my opinion.
Can Abby leave the studio and then you can share your opinions? Yeah. I want to know him.
No, because he could go online and he could listen to it. And he's like, oh, I don't want anything to do with those guys.
We won't send him this link. We'll only send him the other one. He won't know. He's busy.
He's not listening to
this. He lives in Nice, France. Yeah. Do you think he's going to tune into this?
Okay. When Kristen initially emailed me about this dude and I looked at the video, I said, this guy seems like a real douchebag. Let's do it. But even in talk, I don't know.
Nice.
I'm with you. I'm also not a fan.
Sometimes,
so funny because I pride myself on my intuition. I really like this guy.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he was willing to come on the air with us and do this bit.
Oh yeah, the goodness of his heart more likes.
For sure. I mean, he gets hello. It's a business transaction, 100%. But he's still able to do it, and he had a sense of humor about it. I do think, and Abby, Cassie, you can attest to this. British humor very different than American humor. Mm-hmm. I think French humor is very different than American humor as well. And I actually you thought douchebag. I thought dorky. I think this is a super hot, dorky dude.
I mean, I've been to France a couple of times. We could play a game called French or Douche, because you wouldn't be able to tell.
Exactly.
They just have a very different attitude about things.
I will say I have ignored Kristen's intuition a couple of times in the past, and she's been dead on every single time. So now when Kristen, if I have a feeling, then Kristen feels the opposite, I feel the way Kristen feels.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Anna Wintour hated somebody's outfit at the Met Gala so much that they allegedly got banned. I'm waiting for my mystery. There we go. So yesterday we started this at the end of the show that I'm calling Met Gala Mysteries because an account has started posting some blind items from the Met Gala. And if you don't know what a blind item is, they're basically anonymous tips where people will send in these little tidbits of information, of insider sources of what they have heard or what they know went on at the Met Gala. We got through three yesterday where we guessed that J-Lo got a little bit of, what's the right word? She, not bad press, but she didn't make herself look great. She also got a little bit too much Botox, just like Ben Affleck. So not a lot of really good things are coming out of these blind items.
Which I feel is so unnecessarily harsh because I thought she looked stunning.
She looks stunning.
Well, they catch once people have a narrative or they want a narrative, then you could pretty much find a picture of anybody to fit your narrative. So now the narrative on J-Lo is that she's salty. She's become salty like Ben Affleck. And I feel like people have just sort of been grabbing onto that.
Like, who walks around smiling all the time?
Right.
You would look freaking psychotic.
Absolutely.
I will say I did see this very unflattering video of her where one of the reporters, as one does when you're covering the Met Gala, said, "Who are you wearing?" And she just side-eyes them and goes, "Schiaparelli," deadpanned, and then just walked off. I'm like, that's great PR for Schiaparelli. Not. But we also,
at least she knew who she was wearing, unlike Cardi B.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started on that.
That was bad.
Yeah.
So we also got a blind item that was allegedly about Andy Cohen, not going to get invited back because apparently he was very, very drunk this year.
This dude's taking a lot of heat lately, huh?
Andy Cohen? Yes. Yeah. It's just the news cycle. There's good, there's bad, and it's going to come and go. So now I have more Met Gala mysteries that I'm going to read from these blind items, and we are going to guess who they are, and I'll tell you who the internet thinks that it is as well. So this is blind item number 4. It says this one named foreign-born singer not only got her label to pay for her ticket, but she also grabbed onto a billionaire and didn't let go of him the entire night.
Charlie XCX.
Uh-uh.
Rihanna.
She wasn't there.
Oh, she no show? I thought she was confirmed.
She had she had the flu.
Oh, you can tell I'm really invested in that.
A lot of people think this is either Tyla or Jennie from Blackpink. Okay, blind item number five. How do you get the world to stop talking about you being lustily booed for a solid minute on live television that was then shared worldwide? You tell everyone you were wearing the sweater of your boyfriend. Didn't you just quote unquote break up with the last guy a few days ago? Plus, if it is your boyfriend's sweater, then he is a tiny human.
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian. That was pretty obvious because she had like a random cardigan, like a random Ann Taylor cardigan on the Met Gala steps.
And she got booed at Tom Brady's roast.
Did they boo her?
They did.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
All I heard was that she was booed relentlessly. That's and maybe I haven't got to that, but I didn't hear that.
No, because you're watching it on Netflix, right?
Yes.
It was edited. They edited it out.
Oh, I didn't see it live. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you watched it live, then they booed her relentlessly.
Really? Okay.
I was like, all right.
Because watching it now that it's been posted, they took some stuff out.
They took it out, but I'll find a clip. I'll play it for you because there were definitely boos after an O.J. Simpson joke. Yeah, for sure. Okay, blind item number six. This foreign-born A-list actor and his wife will not be invited back. They wore what they would wear to any event to which they were invited.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yep. And so it seems like Anna Wintour was not happy about the outfit, even though she has to approve all of them.
Yeah. That dude stopped by Banana Republic on the way there, and it's like, all right, give me something beige.
All right, this A-minus list singer and this A-minus list actor / Nepo baby could not keep their hands off each other. The two guys were definitely going to be in hookup mode after the party. So I'll give you, this is a lot harder. Apparently this is Jaden Smith and singer Troy Sivan. A little spicy at the Met Gala.
Okay.
Number eight, this beach actor was leaving his tan stains everywhere. He went last night. This is none other than Outer Banks star Chase Stokes. And I want to, this is all alleged, by the way. Alleged blind item confirmation. Number nine, this Disney actress is trying to convince the world she is pregnant. She isn't, though. Her singer boyfriend did get someone knocked up, though. And this is allegedly about actress Dove Cameron. Blind item number 10, speaking of Disney, this former actress turned singer who started off as a kid looked super happy to be in attendance. Oh, wait, this one's positive. We don't need that one.
Was it Ariana Grande?
No, I think it was actually about either Demi Lovato or Sabrina Carpenter. But basically, they feel so much more confident. Okay, here's the last one. Even last month, you just knew this foreign-born, one-named, permanent A-list singer was going to skip the event. She didn't want to discuss it in interviews and just wanted a break from it. Her quote-unquote flu was a classic music flu used for many cancellations of concerts
just talked about
over
it, right?
The year. Mm. What a bummer. All right, people are wondering what's going on with the Miss USA organization after both Miss USA and Miss Teen USA resigned within days of each other. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show. I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount code Abby.
Get it? The Burt Show.
So I adopted and brought home a dog yesterday.
No, you didn't.
Nah.
What?
There you go.
Are you serious?
I'm not going to bury the lead. There you go.
Come on.
I sure did. What? Her name's Franny.
Franny?
And you named her Franny?
I didn't name her Franny. There she is.
Who named her that horrendous name?
Oh, how dare you.
Oh, I love that name.
She's the most franny-looking bulldog you'll ever meet in your life. Go ahead. Pass her around.
How old is she?
So let me tell you how it all goes down. Listeners have been pressuring me now for how long to go get a dog, right? And I'm like, no. I'm enjoying my freedom. Nope. 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 Even put some Instagram reels together. Nope. No, 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 no. So yesterday, I was out yesterday with the poops, and two messages come in to me about a dog that is up for adoption right down the street from me. And I immediately hit them both back, and I said, absolutely not. What's the phone number? So I guess it was posted on the Nextdoor app yesterday, and a couple of listeners knowing that I can be easily swayed and I have very little willpower and I'm very, very weak, decided to go ahead and hit me up.
By little, you mean none?
None?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys know this about me, but sometimes I can be impulsive.
You?
No.
Yep. Never.
Yep. Last time, it didn't work out so well for me when I proposed marriage in bed without a ring. And that didn't work out so great. So I should have learned from that lesson, but a lot of people learn from their history. I don't believe you should learn from past history. I say forget it. Wipe it clean.
I'm so uncomfortable.
You just laughed through it, Abby.
So I get a picture of her. And, man, there was literally no willpower. I guess there's just not enough dopamine going on in my life. So a listener gets the owner's number for me, hits me back, and I immediately hit him. And he is leaving town at 4 in the morning this morning. He's also on his way out of town, bringing the dog back to the farm that he got it from in Iowa. This dog is from a farm, had a couple of litters. I don't really know the entire story, but I know that he brought her and her niece down from Iowa to Atlanta. He already had an English bulldog, got all three of them in the townhouse together, and he's very impulsive also. Realized, like, this is too much. I can't. And Franny, the cutest name ever, I can understand why he's like, this is just going to be too much. And you can tell in 5 minutes that she hasn't had a lot of structure in her life. She grew up on a farm. All she wants to do is be outside. She's kind of sketched out about being inside. All she wants to do is be outside. She's not a real friend of the leash or a collar yet. So I'm going to have to get Jenny, greatest trainer in the world, involved in this whole thing.
She's from I Speak K9.
Uh-huh. And Franny is, I was also thinking, she's 3.5. She's 3.5.
And I say, that's not a puppy.
No, it's not a puppy, which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. But also, as I've been talking to you guys the last couple of weeks, that's a negative when it comes to bulldogs. Bulldogs generally only live 8-9 years. I just lost a bulldog. How long has it been?
Since Riggins has passed?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I mean, the herd is still there, actually. Yeah. So about a year ago or whatever. And you know, the chances of a 3.5-year-old bulldog being adopted are probably slim to none. So the thought of them going back to Iowa and dropping the dog off made me like immediately run over to his house. I'll just check it out. I gotta check the dog out. Mm-hmm. I'm not in the market for, you know, actually bringing the dog in, but I'll go check it out. Man. Now, I got the initial text at... I got the initial info that a dog is up for adoption at 9:30. Franny was in my house at 12:30.
Wow.
Are you serious?
You didn't stand a chance.
I went in. I hung out with her for a couple of minutes. She's kind of skittish. She hasn't been around a lot of people. She's been on a farm her entire life. So she's the sweetest thing ever. But when you first approach her, she's like, "What? You're a human. I'm used to things that have four legs." So she's a little on the skittish side.
Which is the polar opposite of Riggins.
Oh, God, yeah. But, you know, as soon as she got comfortable, she was Riggins.
Yeah.
She really was. And I'll tell you how we'll circle back to him in a second. So I hung out with her for a couple of minutes, and he and I were going back and forth, is this really possible? And it was such a last-minute thing, and the thought of her going back onto that farm in Iowa, he's like, I don't mean to pressure you. He's super, super nice guy. I don't mean to pressure you, but I got to leave at 4 a.m. He had something happen in his family that made him have to be out of town that I don't want to get into. Family emergency. He had to be out of town. He was going to be in that part of the country, and he was about to drop that dog off. So,
but that's where she came from. That's what she was used to. So, I mean, she would have been fine on the farm.
Probably so. Yeah. But I don't know what their plans were. I don't know.
I just love how you have concocted this story that this farm is the worst place in the world.
No, I don't think it was at all. I think she was totally and completely free.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. You know what? So, in my mind, I'm a savior.
Own it.
I saved that dog.
Yes.
Yeah,
right,
I did.
I'm like, it's not like she's going to the depths of hell. She's going to a farm in Iowa. It's like when parents
it's
say,
Bert, that is the depths of hell.
Let the man be the hero of his story.
Yes. Thank you.
I got you, bro.
Your truth is not welcome here.
Yes. Your backyard in Sandy Springs, so much better than that sprawling farm in Iowa.
She will be loved. I will love up on her.
Yeah.
I did take into consideration, like, look, I'm only going to have her until she's 8 or 9 years old, but we will be family until then. And I saw her, I pet her, I fell in love with her, I brought her home. There you go.
And now you got a fanny.
And now I got a franny.
A franny.
A franny.
You got a fanny.
I
kind of
like the name Fanny better than Franny.
I think she would probably answer to anything.
All of our UK listeners are flipping their lid right now because that means something very, very different overseas.
What?
That word.
Fanny?
Oh, it's not a good one.
Fanny or Franny?
Without the R. I'm not even going to say it.
I'll just keep saying it.
Should I say it again?
One more time.
Well, that's not her name, so we're okay.
You're fine.
So I bring her back home. I went to Target in the meantime. Between.
How do you feel about the company Fannie Mae?
I don't know. I haven't asked them.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So,
what about fanny packs?
That's a really good point.
It was my situation.
You know what? That's way better than the story. Forget it. So I got a dog.
Congratulations.
I got a damn dog. There it is.
Right.
The Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
I want to be 100% honest here, okay? Because I feel like I did myself a disservice with Kristen's honesty a couple of minutes ago, all right? You dog people scare me. You scare the S out of me, all right? So yesterday when I was talking about, because I posted online on Instagram that I was thinking about going to get this dog. I mean, you know how many people flooded me with, adopt, don't shop, adopt, don't shop. And I know you're a fan of that also.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
No, I did adopt a dog.
I know.
Uh-huh. So the reason Kristen said made a joke that, look, it sounds like you're like saving this dog from a farm in Iowa. Like that's the story that you've concocted in your head. And the truth is when I came on here this morning, what I didn't want to say is this dog had a couple of different litters and that's what it was, I think, born to do is have litters. So she had 2 or 3. And when she was done, the breeders are like, okay, we'll just give her away. So when I heard that she was going to go back to Iowa, in my mind, I don't know what that world is all about. So I don't know if they were going to find a home. All I know is I heard a North Dakota politician the other day say that when her dogs were puppies and they were breeding, if they weren't doing the right thing, they were getting shot in the head. So that was sort of in the back of my head. I didn't know where this dog was going to go and what it was going to be. So there you have it. But you guys scared me so much that I didn't give you all of the details because I don't want to be like the, oh, you should have adopted a dog when I did.
Well, yeah, you did adopt a dog.
I did adopt a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a dog that had been breeding. Mm-hmm. It was born, I think, to breed. But yes. So there it is. All right.
Okay.
You rescued the dog from the pits of Iowa. You should feel so good.
Right. All right. So to your list of the reasons why you're not going to have a kid.
Yeah. So we have two lovely moms in studio. We have Kristen and Cassie, both raising their kiddos. And naturally, when we get on the air, we get off the air, you're talking about some of the lesser, the less exciting parts about being a mom. And because I have a mom that wants me to have kids. Sometimes I think I need a little bit of backup, a little bit of reinforcement for when they're like, why don't you want to have kids? And now I have a list that is 20 things long. There's 20 items on this list of things that people have said, whether they've called in or whether it's been y'all off the air, that have convinced me that I think having children is just not for me.
So this is a list you have curated over like the past year or whatever. And like every time Cassie and I say something, you're like, oh, hell to the gnaw. You write it down and this is your list of reasons not to have a kid.
Is it a book?
It could be. I need to start getting more descriptive because some of these, I'm like, what is nipple magnet pain? But
I can tell you.
A what?
Because sometimes you have to do it very quickly because mm-hmm. we're on air or there's a caller on the other line and you just got to write down what they said to remind you. And I can't remember what the story was.
My son was playing with magnet tiles and Chad's nipple got caught between two magnet tiles.
That's right.
There we go. Yes. That was number 9.
Did that hurt?
Oh, it hurt. Yes. I laughed my head off, but it hurt him.
Okay, we'll start off with some low balls. When we were on the Burt's Big Adventure trip, somebody was talking to me about one of the worst parts about having kids for her. She said that her boobs got super saggy after birth, and I was like, not for me. Yeah. I like them perky.
Not low balls. Low boobs.
I wrote down no Finland trip because, Kristen, you were going to go to Finland to see the Northern Lights with Burt. But Bart, your husband, said, no, we can't leave Jimmy for that long, so you are going to give up seeing the Northern Lights and all its glory.
You got Jimmy blocked.
I did.
Because of Jimmy. You got Jimmy blocked.
Oh, God, that's the story of my life.
Also, you have like a UTI like every 3 days because of your birthing experience.
Does that have to do with...
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, granted, it was a C-section, not vaginal, but I still think like pressure or whatever, mm-hmm. and like they literally take your innards out and then put them back in when you have a C-section. And I think some stuff shifted, and that's one of the one of the contributing reasons to my chronic UTIs.
Adding innards to the list as well. I do not like the way that sounds. Women who have sons have shortened lifespans. Can't take that risk. That's a 50-50 chance if you get pregnant. So that's going to be a no from me. Want to live a nice long life. I think, Cassie, this is from you. Being woken up at 6 a.m. and being asked a dumb question about a character's physical features.
Oh, yeah. My kid woke me up the other night again. I think this one was like 3 a.m. and asked me to Google James from James and the Giant Peach. No. She wanted to see what he looked like.
Really?
Yes. I was not happy. I did it, but I wasn't happy.
This is a very comprehensive list that you have.
We are not even a quarter of the way through.
This is definitely the best notes you've taken.
We could spend the whole show doing this. Bert, this one's for you.
Okay.
From Hollis, I am not paying $1,000 in insurance for any kid.
A month. $926.
Yeah, that's going to be a no for me, dog. No. You can't go to a friend's birthday party because your kids brought home some sickness. I think that was from you, Kristen. Kristen, you got UTIs and sickness just going back and forth every couple of weeks.
It was me, too. I had to miss our good friend's party.
That might have been from you. Rectal thermometers, don't want anything to do with those.
Wait a minute. It's where I'm drawing the line.
Well, I love her reaction when she thought she was joking about a rectal thermometer. And Cassie are like, no, that's like actually a real thing.
It's the most accurate temperature.
Yeah, that's going to be a no for me. Nipple magnet pain. Someone got kicked in the nuts. Jimmy's toe was digging into your thigh at some point.
I have lots of bruises on my inner thighs.
What is with their toes?
I don't know.
I see this cut on my chin.
Yeah.
I tried to cover it up. It's from my son's toenail.
Okay, toenail and chin.
Yeah, he also cut my lip with it. It was, don't ask how.
Someone's tooth got busted in the front. I think that was a caller. Someone had to call 911 to get Lovey/Horsey. I think that was you, Kristen. Mm-hmm. You can't use the bathroom alone.
Correct.
Bert, this is from you. Mm-hmm. You always have an upstairs neighbor. I live on the top floor for a reason. I can't have people stomping around. Cassie, your kids sneezed and got cheese crackers all over your new Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a no for me. I'm messy enough.
Also, purple vomit on the white seats yesterday, so that was
neat.
Fun.
Oh.
Yeah, neat.
Ever since becoming a mom, your fantasies have changed. You now dream about Bandit, the cartoon dog.
He can get it.
Is that really a deterrent, though?
Yeah.
I can't really go on the cons list.
She got Riz, okay?
My dream fantasy country superstar, Smiley Schmeen, or Bandit, the talking cartoon dog.
Talk to me after. So you've watched a couple episodes.
Teacher Appreciation Month gifts. I don't got the cash for that. That's too much. And the last one came from yesterday when you got purple oatmeal all over your new Tesla. Yeah. That Tesla's taking
a beating. Reminds me, I need to Venmo Hope because she got the teacher's gift for the end of school.
Abby, I will speak for parents when I say that your list is very comprehensive and it is very accurate. But when you got that baby and you got that kid in front of you and you're looking at it, you realize that it's like 60% worth it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I speak for parents, don't do it.
The Bert Show.
You learn through your life who you can trust and who you can't trust, and Katie is right in the thick of this right now.
Into the thick of it.
Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it.
It's so catchy.
Do you know what it is?
I'm way too Caucasian for that joke, I think.
I don't have
no,
what is
no.
It? Can't be that, brother.
What is it? I just joined in. It's into the thick of it.
It's from the, what is it? Is it the Backyardigans? Or
I thought it was a TikTok sound.
It is a TikTok sound.
But it's originally from a children's show.
Backyardigans. I'm sorry, I didn't pick up on that.
Anywho, I'm starting to learn that I cannot trust Mo's friends, basically.
That's I could have told you that one.
So Mo and I, we have a mutual friend. However, I have never like hung out with him one-on-one. Without Mo. Like, typically, we hang out. It's like the gang getting together for the weekend, and we're just all together, right? And I know he has energy, but I just never knew how much energy. Mm-hmm. And I thought that maybe because he's a little bit older than me, he wouldn't have the same energy I would have, which means that when it's time to go home, he knows when it's time to go home. But I learned the hard way that that is not true.
Oh, Abby can help you here. Isn't it your mom that always out-parties you?
Oh, my gosh. My mom is always out to like 2, 3 a.m., and I'm like, it's 11:30. Normally, I'm in bed by now.
So this particular night was on a school night, which was my first mistake. It was after Mo and I recorded the podcast, and we were like, yo, let's, you know, keep the party going. So we keep the party going. He's a part of this. We're having fun. Mo's like, tomorrow's Friday. Okay, I need to go to work and go to sleep. And I'm like, you're right. I should be doing the same.
And what stopped you?
Your friend.
See, I knew better. You saw me. Yep, y'all have fun.
So there was no free will, right?
You're not willing to take accountability for your own actions or choices?
No.
Just making sure. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, yes. I could have gone home, right? I could have been like, you know what? I'm going to follow suit like Mo and call it a night.
Yeah, but once you get caught up, I'm with you on this, man. Especially when I was your age. Once you get caught up in it, there's this gravitational pull. It's impossible to get out of.
It is. And then you just start to think, do I really just want to live the boring life, or do I want to live each day like it's my last?
Boma.
YOLO, right? And so that's what I did. So, so we left Mo, and we decided to go out. So we go out, we get some food, we're having a good time, we're partying. This woman that he's dating comes, and she's partying with us, and so now it's like a real party. I'm like, yeah, keep the party going. It is now approaching probably about, I would say, almost midnight.
Okay, and you got to be in here at what time?
I get here at 5:30.
Okay. You have plenty of time to recover. You're young. Yeah.
Plenty of time. And so we're still partying, and where we are, we're like in the city. I do not live in the city. I live a nice distance away. And so as we're winding down, he's like, you know what, Katie, don't worry about making that drive. I know you still have to go to work in the morning. How about you just stay at my place? Because I'm really like right up the street. Like, it's going to be a short drive. It's easy. I'm like, all right, cool. So we get back to his place.
That's another point in your night where you had to make a decision and you chose the wrong one. So I'm just counting notes over
Or
here.
The right one.
We'll see.
It was close. That was easier.
Okay.
I had clothes in my trunk. Yep. You know, I always come with backup pair of outfits. So then we get to his place. The party's still going. Even the woman that he's dating, she comes too. And this is where I made another mistake. Oh, now I can admit it. He's a DJ. So he pulls out his turntables.
Oh,
he's like,
let's go.
Let's get some shots, y'all. Yeah,
and it's what time now of the night?
Okay, so now we're pushing like 1.
Okay.
Yeah, we're like 1 a.m. And he's like, let's get some shots. And he's playing music. Now, mind you, it's only like 3 of us in his house.
That man pulled turntables out for 2. He don't care.
And it sounds like a rave. We're in the kitchen just taking shots, right? He has the turntables. The music is so loud, we can barely hear each other speak, right? So we're yelling at each other like, yeah, it's such a great time. Dinner was great. Like, that's what it sounds like in his house. 3 people, y'all. 3 people. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go to sleep. So 20 minutes after this partying, I'm like, all right, guys, good night. I'm going to the guest bedroom, calling it a night, right? I'm going to sleep. But he still has music going. But he's downstairs, so I'm like, okay. The rave music's going to go. I'm just going to have to go to sleep.
Once again, this is what time now?
It's now approaching 1:30 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just like, all right, cool. It's fine. I set my alarm, and I try to go to sleep. And as I'm going to sleep, I start to dream. And I dream that I'm like at an EDM concert. And it's like,
Backyardigans again.
I'm like, this is crazy. And then I hear that startling iPhone alarm, right? I wake up, but I wake up and I still hear rave music. I'm like, oh, what?
No way.
And I'm like, wait, is he still playing music at 5 a.m.?
Now now, if I'm doing the math right, there's only two left.
Yeah.
And he's still rocking the music.
Or maybe there's
probably
just
him. Yeah, right. At this point, it's just him.
So the music is still loud, and I'm upstairs. And I'm like, what is going on? Are they still up? What, did they never go to sleep? So I just like, you know what, Katie, just get ready and go to work. I come downstairs. No one is downstairs.
He just left the turntables.
He just left the music going. All night. So much so that it invaded my dreams.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
We haven't had this much pageant drama since Honey Boo Boo was on TLC. So Miss USA, Miss Teen USA, and the Miss USA organization social media director all stepped down within days of each other. And internet sleuths think they have decoded a secret message in Miss USA's statement that says that she might be crying out for help. So this is a big deal because this is the first time in 72 years of the Miss USA organization that there hasn't been a Miss USA or a Miss USA title holder. It's like a big deal to step down. When you win, it's kind of like winning a contest. You get a penthouse in New York City. You get to travel around the country. You get like a modeling contract. It's kind of like a lot of people's dream jobs. For people to step down, it's very shocking.
And again, Miss America, different than Miss USA.
Yes, Miss America is more about scholarships and going around and doing a lot of charity work. Miss USA is more of your quintessential beauty pageant that has a lot more to do with modeling.
But their comment, like their what they released, their statements, seemed very cryptic and like didn't really give a specific reason as to why Miss Teen USA and Miss USA was stepping down.
And it makes a lot of sense because you can assume both of them probably signed NDAs, but Miss Teen USA's statement on Instagram said something a little bit more jarring than the Miss USA one, which was a little bit more politically correct. The Miss Teen USA statement said her personal values no longer fully align with the direction of the organization, which basically kind of seems like, screw you, you guys suck. And internet sleuths have decoded Miss USA's statement, and they found out that if you take the first letters of the first 11 sentences in the statement,
shut up.
This feels like Swifty stuff. Like women are the FBI.
Uh-huh.
If you take the first letters from the first 11 sentences in her statement, it spells, I am silenced.
Really?
Oh. Dun, dun, dun. Uh-huh. So here was the twist. So, the former social media director, who also stepped down, posted a resignation post that said that she did not sign any contracts or non-disclosure agreements. So she's going to be able to speak about whatever she wants to. And she hasn't given us anything too crazy yet. So she said, I feel the way current management speaks about their title holders is unprofessional and inappropriate. I disavow workplace toxicity and bullying of any kind. I believe the title holders' mental health and happiness has taken a toll, and I cannot remain silent about that.
Hmm.
We also got a comment from Miss USA's mother on the Instagram post. She said, as your mother, it has been a huge relief to see your personality restored. I observed how your personality changed and how your light faded. It broke our hearts.
Wow.
So whatever is going on in the Miss USA world is clearly very, very shocking.
Yeah, so I just went to see like who controls the pageant now, and they just got under new ownership.
Yeah, because they had a scandal a couple of years ago where all the Miss USA contestants had claimed the competition had been rigged,
yeah,
and it led to the Miss USA president having to step down.
If you haven't thought about it already, maybe one of your dark side of pageants. We could probably do 17 segments of that.
Good call. That is on the list.
Yeah, I was briefly involved in the pageant world, and there is a lot of shadiness and a lot of angry mothers involved in pageant world. So
what was your talent?
You want to know what it was?
Yeah.
I only did it for like a year. So in the South, it's like a big deal to have a pageant for your school. So I was never really involved in like the official organizations, although I did compete in one Miss America one. So I competed in my school pageant, and I went up against 20 other girls, very talented girls.
I did a monologue about how I didn't have a talent. So it was like one big excuse.
Good for you. She 8 miled herself.
Yes.
She did.
You did, actually.
And I still beat him.
Do you still have that monologue?
I can find it. It was really good, but just on myself.
Oh, we got to hear it next week, please.
I think it was, and I don't keep track of this anymore, but as far as I have been able to tell, normally it was like 10 girls that would compete. I'm like, oh, this will be easy. The year I did it, there were like 22 girls.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, how am I going to, because I'm very competitive. I don't like to lose. So I was like, I can't learn professional ballet in 3 months. So I just did one long excuse.
How far did you make in the competition?
So I won that pageant.
Oh, nice.
And then you go on to compete against the other high schoolers. So then you compete against like 40 girls. And that one I'm convinced was probably rigged. Although, I will say, the girls that won were pageant girls and deserved it.
No, I will never believe that. If you didn't win, it was rigged.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, for more stories, head to I couldn't do the tease yesterday. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Yeah, girl.
There it is.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
When you listen to Abby's podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, this is a really good run right here. And this is the one that I'm always sort of questioning also. Which is more important, like compatibility or chemistry?
Oh, yeah. And especially when you've been as single as long as I have been, which is forever, you hear one thing more than anything else. And it's, you're just a little bit too picky. And I think the reason that I'm picky is because I'm kind of looking for that spark. I'm looking for that intense chemistry that everyone talks about.
So before we dive in, and I know that you have a professional that weighs in on this. Before we even get in on that, to you guys, which one is more important, compatibility or chemistry?
I'm going chemistry. I feel like compatibility is important, but if without chemistry, man, you don't have anything.
I'm going to have to say chemistry. I think you can, when it comes to compatibility, I think both are important, but for a romantic relationship, I feel like chemistry edges out compatibility ever so slightly, merely because even if you aren't compatible, if the chemistry is there, you can learn to appreciate the other person for who they are.
100%.
I could argue on both sides of this. I think I've been in relationships that lacked one or the other, and they've all equally failed.
I think that's why I've been single for so long, is because I'm unwilling to get rid of one for the other. Like, for me, it's sort of like comparing it to a plane. Like, do you want your plane to be able to get you up and into the sky and land, or do you want really comfortable seats with great snacks? Like, nobody wants to be on a plane without comfortable seats and leg room. But at the end of the day, like, if your relationship doesn't have legs, I'm comparing the relationship to the plane. If your relationship doesn't have like the capacity to be able to withstand time, which to me is compatibility, then like, what's the point of being in it? So even though I'm looking for the chemistry, I recognize that I do think compatibility is a little bit more important.
Wow, I've got a million things going through my head, and I'm trying to think of all the people I'm going to offend if I'm honest. I think compatibility leads to chemistry.
Okay.
I think I would weigh more that way.
I think the hard thing is sometimes, especially young people, we try and do things backwards. Like, we find someone that we have really good chemistry with and we try and make ourselves compatible. And that doesn't always work because some people aren't good at being in relationships. Like, I've definitely dated people where I've felt that chemistry, but I was like, if we date for longer than 3 months, like, this ship is going to tank.
Look, and I know people also that have that compatibility in hoping that the chemistry is going to be there. That's what we've been taught our entire lives, right? At least guys, that if a woman isn't physically attracted to you at first, at some point or another, when you guys are compatible, the chemistry will happen. And there are a lot of cases where it doesn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a friend who is like completely compatible with her significant other, but they have no chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've been in both. Like, I've been in a relationship where we had a lot of compatibility, but no chemistry. And then I've been in one where we had a lot of chemistry and no compatibility. And the first one was more healthy, but it was boring, to be honest.
Yeah, you know what? Now that we're talking about it, I'm so glad we're doing this. I think that I have, because I'm such a dopamine junkie, I think that I have leaned on chemistry most of my life and sacrificed compatibility. And here we are. So, at least for me, that hasn't worked.
So that's what we brought up this week on my podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, which we legally, I have to tell you, is on Bird's Network, the Pioneer Network. And I had this girl come on who talked about how she sacrificed the spark in her relationship. She was like, you know, this guy's really good for me. He loves me and he feels safe. So I'm going to stay in this relationship. And then, you know, over the course of a year or two, the spark kind of starts to never come. She's waiting for the spark to happen. Mm-hmm. And even though she's stuck with the nice guy, turned out not to be a nice guy. She did literally her own Tinder takedown where she paid for a premium service to be able to find this guy. And then when she found his profile, she posted about it on her social media. Very funny. So then I always do a follow-up episode where I have an expert speak on some of the things that come up in the episode. And so this week we talked about the spark. And I had somebody called the relationship boss. Come on, her name's Christina Cipriani. And I asked her, I'm like, okay, if I'm with somebody and I'm not quite feeling that chemistry, how long do I wait? Is there a timeline? Do I got to get past a certain point to be able to be like, okay, the chemistry is just never going to happen? And her answer really caught me off guard.
I honestly feel like it's when you have your first fight and you overcome that first fight. Like, this is going to sound really weird, but we avoid the conflict at all costs. But when you know that you can have a hard conversation, get over and through that hard conversation, and then you find that it brings you closer together at the end of that, that's when I feel like, okay, like we can actually do this. This is like feeling really good for me. Because we think that like conflict is doomed, end all be all type of a moment. But conflict comes with relationships, right? You can't just stay status quo and perfect for forever because someone's going to eventually speak up for what's not working for them, what they're craving a little bit more of. And so I think that this happens after the honeymoon phase.
Yeah. So ironically, when you find out you're compatible in conflict, that's when the spark should be there.
And I think, you know, just to address the last thing she was saying, I feel like I'm very attached to that. You can only run away from your authenticity for so long. And, you know, I've told you guys before, excuse me, I hate the phrase keep the peace because there is no peace. That's just everybody shutting up. But at some point or another, you'll return back to your authentic self, and that's when things are going to blow up.
And in reference to chemistry, though, I don't recall Bart and I's first fight. Couldn't even tell you what it was about, what it was. However, I do remember our first kiss, and it's one of the greatest first kisses of my life.
Well, I would hope so, considering you're married to him now.
Yeah, but we're 18 years in. But that's what I'm saying. Like, even though I didn't have chemistry the first time I met him, but when we went on that first date and we had that first kiss and it was electric, I remember what I was wearing. I remember what he was wearing. I remember where I was standing, you know, in the doorway of my house. Like, I remember everything about it. Couldn't tell you anything about our first fight.
Did he have one of those pre-condoms on we were talking about?
The audacity. That's what sold me. He's a very, very responsible man.
If you guys missed this, somebody is literally manufacturing and marketing a pre-condom that you put on 2 hours beforehand. So you could be out on your date, and then when it happens, it's already on there.
Yes, sir. We ready.
So if you want to hear more about how important the spark is in a relationship and when you should leave if you don't feel it, you can check out the Breakup Breakdown podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
Imagine struggling with the death of someone you love very much and then also having to struggle with the fact that a company misplaced their body and you have no idea where they are.
Ooh, that's not going to be good.
That's what this family in Quebec, Canada is going through right now. It's a lady named Miriam, and she is on the hunt for her dad's body, unfortunately, because they were on a family vacation and they were swimming in the ocean when the dad suddenly had a heart attack. They had to drag his body to the beach.
Oh, God.
Traumatized.
Cover his body up and wait for people to come because they, I guess, being on vacation, they're in Cuba. They wasn't exactly sure what to do. So they called the authorities and just waited for someone to come and get the dad's body. So obviously, vacation is over, and now you have to figure out what do you do on your way back home.
Be pretty jacked up if they just kept on with the vacation.
Keep on swimming, right?
I mean, it's really not much you can do about this.
I mean,
what
are
you
going
to pay for?
Non-refundable. Can't get our money back.
Dad, we want this for us.
There you go.
Would you rather be depressed on a beach in Cuba or back in Fresno?
Listen, I would personally want my family to keep on pushing.
Hell,
I mean,
yeah,
it's nothing you can do right now.
Absolutely not.
Oh, I would. I would want my family too. Yeah,
I would too.
For sure.
Absolutely not.
If you're going to cry tears, do it on a beach. That's the best way to honor me.
Especially if it's the first day of the vacation.
Well, not with my dead body there. Like, get my dead body home and then go on a vacation afterwards.
Well, your dead body's not there. It's lost.
No, it's not. They pulled it. Well, okay, yeah.
It's not lost yet. Not at this point.
No, if they can't find it, it's lost.
No, it's lost now. But at the point that they put him on the beach, it wasn't lost yet. It wasn't lost until they got back to Canada. That's when the body was lost. So they had to pay the money, which I don't know how this normally works, but I guess they had to pay to make sure that the body was returned to them so that they can have the funeral. So they get back.
They say whenever you fly, more than likely there's a dead body in the underneath.
Right. So I guess it costs about...
Who says that?
It's true.
It's true. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's just a statistic, a fact. I'll like when you're flying, when you're flying, it's a high percentage that in the underbelly of the plane where all the luggage is, there's a dead body.
Sometimes if there's too much luggage on the bottom and there's a dead body, they'll just put it right next to you. Like in coach. So you think a person is sleeping, but they're not. They're dead.
Dear God. Okay.
They put headphones on them. Mm-hmm. So you won't know.
I hate everything about this.
So the company, the woman pays the company about $10,000 in order to return the body. And then they go and they set up the funeral arrangements, which I guess all in all cost about $20,000. The poor family is ready to have the funeral within a couple of days. They finally get the casket. They go to view the body. It is a man that is 20 years younger that they have never seen before in their life.
Oh, damn.
That means somebody, not only are they missing a dead body, but whoever's dead body they have, that dead body is missing to somebody.
Exactly. So they now find out who the guy is that was mistaken for the dad, and they're able to get that body to the family of that person. But this woman, this poor family, they still have no idea to this moment where their dad is.
Wow.
And imagine the shock of the other family. Because maybe, what if it was like a switch? Like, they got the dad's body, and they got whoever the younger person's was body. So now they're like, wait a second, did he age in the afterlife?
Well,
there's so many questions. Like, obviously, hopefully they got reimbursed that 10 grand that they paid this company because they screwed up.
The company doesn't want to reimburse them yet because they believe that they can still find the body. Now, the funeral, the money that they paid.
I don't care if you find the body. The body you had. I have now seen not one but two dead bodies within a week's time span. You're going to reimburse me because I had to look at another dead body. End of story.
I'm so on the other side of this. I've told you guys before, I'm so practical about death. It doesn't matter to me where my body is. It would matter probably to the people that are still alive where my body is.
Yeah.
Don't.
It's not about you.
Just have a party. What do you mean my death is not about me?
Death is never about the person who died. It's about the people who are grieving at the funeral, at the cremation, like all that stuff. Cemeteries aren't for the dead. Cemeteries are for the living.
If that was my last story, that they lost Bert's body and we can't find him, it's the most Bert thing ever. I would love that.
You don't even want to look.
It's one hell of a Plotsky. I'm going to give you that.
So, unfortunately, they have to fight now with the company from Cuba, which is now trying to find the body. And then I guess the funeral services as well, they are saying that we won't make you, like, pay us any more money in the future, but they want to hold the money because I guess in their mind, you're going to have the funeral at some point. So they're fighting to get the money back while also fighting to find their dad.
Damn, I need a follow-up on this, on exactly... I mean, what do you do? Who do you hire? I mean, you're totally in the hands of the company to find it because nobody else can do it for you.
That's what she said. She said we just have to keep going back and forth with this Cuban company of, I guess, where they ship bodies and they're trying to find a body. I don't know how you misplace an entire human body, but it's happened.
It's the Bert Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bert Show fix at thebertshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bert Show.